If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by top London radio DJ and certified Japanophile, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, what are you laughing about?
I found a website where you can buy sort of generic mascots that you could, like, change and modify to your own dimensions.
Wasn't expecting that.
Well, there's a traffic light. You can dress up as a traffic light with a hat. but they're just, like, really professional-looking kind of mascots. And this must be the sort of place that the Japanese kind of prefectures and organisations must get these from. And they must just modify them slightly.
We touched on this, was it last week?
Yeah.
We talked about mascots in Japan, how they're big business and how there's lots of weird, obscure ones, such as Melon Bear, which is a bear with a melon for a head. What was the other one?
What did we have? We had one that was a runway.
One with,
an airport runway.
Runway man.
Runway man.
Brilliant.
Brilliant. This one I'm looking at, €429.
€429.
Yeah.
$420.
Mascot white and coloured traffic light with a kepi, which I presume is like a cap. Cute and colourful, this mascot white traffic light with three colours and his cap will be perfectly suited for raising awareness for a driving school or a circuit. Impressive and funny, it does not go unnoticed.
You love mascots so much. Oh, I often wonder why you're on radio and why you're not working in the mascot industry.
I would really get into flat. What's that sign spinning thing that people do in America?
Oh, yeah.
I reckon I'd be really good at that and enjoy that immensely.
I think it's your calling in life that I think at some point or another you need to address this and break into the mascot industry.
Oh, enjoyable. Very enjoyable. But it's just amazing that you can actually buy these sort of fully formed ideas. There's a palm tree mascot. Let's take that one.
Palm tree mascot.
Everything's €429. It doesn't matter how complex these things are. So, yeah.
All this talk of mascots has made me want to make a video on mascots. Mm. I'm actually going to... After last week, when we did talk about mascots to a fair amount, I did think this is a topic I need to do. So I'm going to go out when I get back to Japan in a few days. I am going to go out and do some research, find some mascots, and make the greatest video about Japanese mascots you'll ever see on YouTube ever.
And talk to the mascot people, that's behind the masks.
I will. I want to find that. I think that's the most interesting thing. Mm. How did you fuse a watermelon with a bear to create Melon Bear?
Have I spoken about the Hartlepool mascot before?
On the mascot from Hartlepool.
The Hartlepool Hangus the monkey. Hangus the monkey. He was the football team's mascot, and he was just a monkey, and he'd run around, and he challenged the Labour incumbent mayor to the vote for mayor, basically.
What?
His promises were like free bananas for school children, which he never followed up on when he actually got the premiership. He got given the mayor all candidacy, and so he was the mayor for like 2 or 3 years. Stuart Drummond, his name was.
A monkey. A man in a monkey suit,
right. Was the mayor of Hartlepool.
Might be why Hartlepool's economic situation has somewhat declined over the last few decades.
As soon as he took office, he took the suit off and tried to be a proper mayor,
no,
which is terrible. Isn't it?
If you're in an election as a monkey, you've got to stay true to your monkey values.
There can't be many.
You can't just pull your costume off. You've got to stay as the mascot for the whole 2 or 3 years. Anyway. This is a lovely, interesting tangent for another day. I'm sad, Pete. I'm going back to Japan.
Oh, Chris.
Except I'm not sad. I'm quite excited.
Chris.
It's been...
Chris, don't go,
you have nothing
mate.
Else to add there. Just
please,
Chris,
don't go. I miss you.
I've been in the UK a few weeks now. Mm. It's been good.
Enjoyed the rain?
The weather here has been lovely. Lovely.
Right, okay.
But, yeah, it's nice to finally go back and do things. I missed Japan a little bit. Mm. I do feel like whenever I leave Japan, a part of me is still in Japan.
Oh,
that sounds really weird.
Well, your property,
creepy and disgusting.
The things in your flat.
I don't have any property. Like a printer. Yeah, I feel like when I leave Japan, a part of me's left there.
Oh.
Which sounds odd. I think it's because I've been there 7 years now, right? Mm. 7 years since 2 weeks ago. Mm. I've changed a lot since then. I've become a man. A man with very poor facial hair.
Right.
But a man nonetheless. And lots of things, I've done lots of things, and I've become someone different right. to who I was when I left in 2012. So I feel like a lot of my identity is tied up in Japan.
Mm, exactly.
Even though I can never be Japanese, because I have no Japanese blood inside me. So
it's like the weirdest transfusion.
Do it! Give me
Japanese
blood.
Presumably if you lost a load of blood and you had to get given a load of blood in a Japanese hospital, that would probably be... Japanese blood.
I would become Japanese.
And they're really big on blood out there. Yeah, they love blood. Stuff, so they're probably always really careful. So they're probably really careful to make it like.
But I read a study
pure.
That people in Japan don't like to give blood. I think it's just 11% of people like to give blood. In the UK, it's like 25%.
So you reckon they import it from elsewhere?
I don't know.
No.
But I'm loving the way this conversation's gone from monkeys running towns to blood transfusions.
I need to go and give blood. Last time I gave it, I hadn't eaten anything and I felt a bit faint. And she gave me a leaflet basically saying, so you're an idiot. So you turned up and you hadn't eaten anything and you felt a bit faint, you idiot. Didn't.
I don't know what to do on the plane. It's a 12-hour flight between Heathrow and Japan. I hate
rap.
Flying.
Do a 12-hour wrap.
A 12-hour wrap.
Yeah, for the rest of the patrons on the plane.
Brilliant.
Tell them how you're going to fly under the Rainbow Bridge.
I don't know what I'm going to do, Pete. I think I have to knock myself out with sleeping pills this time. I hate flying. I hate it. I don't know why people enjoy it. Mm. But there you go. Flying nonetheless. There's another way around it. I could take a boat. Do you know how long that would take?
How long would that take?
3 months? 2 months? 2 months.
Well, a boat straight across, like, so you'd
yeah, through
to go
the sky.
Around.
A boat through the sky.
So you'd have to go through...
You'd have to go... Well, there's two ways. You go, across the Atlantic, down the Panama Canal and across the Pacific, or down around Africa, around the Horn of Africa, back up around the Indian Ocean, around Singapore, Malaysia, up around the South China Sea, and then bang, into Yokohama Harbour for tea and biscuits. Probably take 2 to 3 months, and I think I'd probably get more seasick than a 12-hour flight, so I think I'll stick with the plane. But I'm looking forward to getting back. I am. Yeah. It's going to be good. It's going to be like... late August, so the temperature will be
A
little bit more bearable than before.
Yeah. Oh,
there you go. Ready to dive back in.
What are you going to be taking back with you? What's the home comforts are you going to be taking back?
I haven't actually got anything planned.
What? Oh, you're giving me the big licks when I'd lost your cider. You've got to take some cider back with you.
To who, though? To Natsuki?
To you.
I did think about... I was thinking about taking some sweets back, some British sweets for Natsuki, and then doing a classic... tasting British sweets with a Japanese guy video.
Oh, who would do that?
I used to spend like so much money and time and effort making my videos, cycling through rice fields with drone shots and like amazing set pieces and CGI plane crashes. And now it's just going to be me and Natsuki in a room trying sweets for 12 minutes. Job done. That's my YouTube channel's future. Brilliant.
I enjoyed your mate Charla's video with Natsuki eating a lot of crisps and stuff and some root beer. He really didn't like that root beer, did he?
Natsuki doesn't like root beer, yes. For those of you who love Natsuki and have missed his absence from the Abroad Japan channel, he recently featured on my friend Sharla's videos. Charmander is the name of the channel. It's clever. Probably copyright infringement on Pokemon.
Possibly. Just say
Charmander, Charmander. but no, she fed Natsuki root beer and Fisherman's Friend sweets. And he created some new swear words. He created the swear word fuckish.
Fuckish.
Because he kind of went to say fuck, but then he wanted to say shit. And he kind of blended it into fuckish.
Yeah.
And he described Fisherman's Friend as the taste of death.
Yeah.
Which I like that.
It tastes like, tastes like that kind of Tiger Balm stuff you put on your back if you've got a poorly muscle. So
I just miss him and his weird, wacky quotes and great ideas. And I can't wait to see him.
Yeah.
Honestly, I can't. And he'll be back on the channel.
I can't wait to see him either,
this
Chris.
Month as well.
Yes.
In a nice documentary about Rockstar. But today, we are going to turn our attention to the fax machine. It's been piling up over the last few weeks and we haven't been answering as many questions as we should. So we're here today to answer, there must be at least 10, 15, 20 questions here. Let's get through them. What's the first one? Mr. Donaldson.
Celine. Hello, Celine. Hi, Chris and Pete. I'm Celine and I'm from Switzerland. I love to hear your podcasts on the train when everybody stares at me whenever I start laughing out loud of nowhere because Pete said something weird / stupid / funny.
He does do that.
Last week you shared some stories of kindness in Japan. Here's my story.
Ooh.
I was in Tokyo with my husband enjoying our vacation and shopping spree. My husband collects video games when we found an article about a 10 yen sushi shop.
No.
No, I did not do a typo. It's 10 yen per nigiri.
10 yen. What's that in pence? 10 pence, right?
Right.
That's like 10 cents or 6 pence for a piece of sushi.
And they're actually really good. Nothing fancy, though. I bet it's nothing fancy. I mean, just the fish itself would cost that amount, presumably.
I don't get it.
So we stood on the front of this shop, no English signs, nothing, but Google Maps told us we were in the right place. So we went inside this tiny shop and tried to order. As we spoke no Japanese, a stranger walked up to us and helped us order 30 nigiri and 2 Coke. He did collect our order when it was our turn and even helped us to pay. His English was not great, so we barely spoke to each other for him helping us to order. Suddenly we heard that Bon Jovi was playing on the radio, so he turned to us and smiled big and he said, "I love Bon Jovi, it's my life." I think this is one of my favourite travel stories to tell. Sorry if my spelling is off, it's been a while since I wrote so much English. Ha ha! Wish you all the best. Cheers, Celine. Your English is excellent and your written English is even better than that, I imagine.
What a wonderful story.
Yeah, love your job.
Bon Jovi, it's my life.
It's my life.
Isn't that the song, "It's My Life"? No. Or was he actually just saying, "It's my life"? Is it? I love Bon Jovi so much, it's such a huge part of my life. What I don't understand is how can you have sushi that's 10 yen?
I don't know the logistics about how to
put that
together.
I actually know this place. I read some articles about it. And my friends went there and made a video once.
Right.
And what he does, basically, is the sushi is actually good quality, if it is this one. 10 yen for tuna sushi.
Right.
Right. What he does is he charges you on the drinks.
Oh.
I think you have to buy like 3 drinks minimum.
Right.
So he's not going to be turning much of a profit, but it's still a profit nonetheless. And that's how he does it.
I see. Very interesting.
But the video I watched, if it is this one, this unmarked, unlisted kind of secret sushi shop, apparently it was good quality, and my friends liked it. Check it out online, 10 yen sushi. I think it's out there somewhere. Hello, Chris and Pete. I love your podcast. My favourite time to listen is when I'm walking in the woods, just enjoying the beauty of nature. I'm accidentally scared of fox because you guys made me laugh out loud. I love this. We've scaring foxes. Last week, someone said that we ruined their painting because when they laugh... when they listen to the podcast while they're painting.
Yeah.
And the laughter causes the paintbrush to slip and ruin the artwork.
In many ways, we are co-creators of that art, aren't we, really?
We are co-creators of reality.
If we're moving the brush in a certain way at certain times, we're very much part
of it. Celine said we cause people to be scared on trains, we're scaring foxes, we're ruining artwork.
Oh, I love it.
Things I never thought would happen doing a podcast. My question is something that's been bothering me for a while. Next time I go to Japan will be my 4th time. And the other times I've really wanted to try more different foods than I actually did. But on my next trip, I really want to make an effort to get the staff or the chef's recommendations using the phrase "osusume wa nandesuka." But to be honest, I'm a bit scared. I trust the Japanese are very fair and honest. But what if they recommend the most expensive item and I don't realise, and the bill is insane? Am I overthinking it? Could it happen? They would trick me. Would they actually trick me or unknowingly do it because they expect that I can just pay whatever they want because I'm a foreign tourist, because I ask for their recommendation? I'm not worried if I have a menu they can point at, but if they don't, is it rude to ask how much the dish is when they recommend it? So for the long, maybe confusing question, I absolutely adore you guys. And I love experiencing Japan through you guys. Whenever my longing gets too strong, which is every day, oh my God. On another podcast, you butchered the Danish name like or lick. So I wonder how you'll do with my Danish name, Jet. If it helps, it sounds almost like Ede. In Japanese. Ede. Thanks for the awesome podcast, Jet. Yeah. Or Yete.
Yede.
Oh, God, I butchered another name. what was the point again? Oh, osusume wa nandesuka. So I always use this phrase. I teach people this phrase, osusume wa nandesuka. What's your recommendation?
Yeah.
When you go into a restaurant, you might not be able to read the menu because it's going to be in Japanese kanji characters. Mm. And if you can't read, you're screwed. So you can just sort of say, osusume wa nandesuka. What's the recommendation? And hopefully the chef or the staff will go, oh, I'll get it for you. And they'll bring out this wonderful sushi plate or some lovely wagyu beef or something. It would be a little bit weird probably to sort of just say, oh, how much does this osusume cost? I've never done that before.
No. I mean, how expensive can meals be?
But
it's,
you know,
it's the booze that gets you. It's like that other guy. It's the booze that costs the money.
As Pete's found out many times on his travels. No, I think Japanese people are very nice, and I don't think they're going to go, I'll get you the recommendation, and then crack out the $300 Wagyu beef. Then that happens very rarely. No. I don't think that's going to happen. Usually when you ask for the recommendation, basically they bring out the kind of the meibutsu. Do you know what that is, Pete?
No.
Meibutsu.
Meibutsu.
Come on, you know.
No, come not on. A clue.
Come on.
Not a meibutsu. Clue.
Means local food.
Right. Okay.
So they'll just bring out the local food.
Give
so
me some local food, please.
If you get to Hokkaido, it's going to be seafood, you know. If you're in Fukuoka, it's going to be ramen or whatever. So don't be afraid. Just go for it. Don't worry. I'm sure they're not going to bring out some weirdly expensive item.
And if they do, you've learnt your lesson.
If you do, it wasn't me that told you to do that. Just, yeah, it was Pete. Pete did it.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Three. Six.
Dan from Phoenix, Arizona. Hey there, guys. Or hey there, fellas, even. Whenever my pipes hurt from singing too much, I switch from music and put on your guys' lovely podcast. I had a question about my experience I had when I was a younger person staying with a host family in Japan. I got in my host mother's car in the back seat and I started to put on my seatbelt. Upon doing that, my host mom and sister both looked at me and started laughing, saying, no, no, is okay. At the time, I didn't really speak Japanese, and at this point, contacting them and asking about it seems like it would be weird. So I want answers here, Chris. Why did they laugh? P.S. I'd love to see my boy Pete D in more videos. What a lovely chap. Thanks, Dad from Arizona. /Phoenix, for your kind words about me.
I'd love to see more my boy Pete
D. What you need?
Pete D.
It's what the internet needs.
It makes you sound a lot cooler than you are. Pete D.
Pete D.
Like
yeah.
Doesn't work for me. Chrissy B. basically, in Japan, the whole seatbelt rule that we love so much in other countries, it's not applicable. I think it is now.
Right.
I think a decade ago it was all right. Mm. What I do know is when I'm in a taxi in Japan, they don't mind about seatbelts for in the back seat. You don't have to worry about it. Mm. It's kind of weird to do it, although they have been enforcing it more recently, like, to wear your seatbelt, telling you to do it. But yeah, in up until recently in Japan, if you're in the back seat, you didn't have to worry about your seatbelt.
Mm.
I've got in the car, put it on. People are like, oh, you don't need to do it. I'm like, well, you do. I've seen the adverts on British TV where someone in the back seat slams into the driver
pizza
and smashes
everywhere.
Their face into the steering wheel.
Pizza everywhere, mate.
I feel weird not having a seatbelt on.
I don't. It's weird though. But when you get in a bus, you don't put a seatbelt.
That's true.
On.
Yeah.
Isn't it strange?
The buses are never normally going fast enough to warrant a seatbelt.
Yeah, taxis, like black cabs, I never put them on. I mean, they don't necessarily go that fast because they're in the city centre. But yeah, it's weird these tricks that your mind sort of plays on itself. Oh yeah, I'll be fine. I'll be fine in this black cab.
It's a bit odd. I'll just say, put the seatbelt on. Ignore the sneering host family the next time you're in Japan.
Get your seatbelt on.
Say, it won't be so funny when my face goes through the dashboard, will it?
Yeah. I like the...
Try and say that in Japanese, because I don't know how to say that.
I like the... there was a man in Russia who was specifically kind of following police cars around using his mobile phone to make them stop him. But it wasn't actually a mobile phone that he had to his head. It was a little mobile phone-shaped cake he'd made.
What?
So he'd made these mobile phone shaped cakes and made them look like a phone, but it was a cake. And then when he films this,
right.
when the police woman pulls him over and says, right, you're getting written up for that because you, and he says, why? And she says, you're using a mobile phone. And he goes and just bites the mobile phone,
eating the evidence.
Yeah, and she's sure shocked.
Did he get the fine?
Of course he did. He's still doing something dangerous, isn't he?
I would find him. I'd be like, you've pissed me off. You've wasted my time. Have a $500 fine.
Yeah, and also
or
like
500 rubles.
Whether you've got a phone to your head or a cake, you should have two hands available to use the steering wheel. So you've mugged yourself off there, mate.
Absolutely,
Mr. Russian cake monster.
God. Hi, Chris and Pete from two Geordie listeners. Are you a Geordie, Pete?
Nah. I'm a monkey hanger. As we talked about the mascots earlier on, we're monkey hangers.
Everyone listening who's not a Geordie or doesn't know what a Geordie is because they're outside the UK, what's a Geordie, Pete? It's just someone from Newcastle, right?
Someone from Newcastle, right.
Hi, Chris and Pete from two Geordie listeners. It alarmed us to hear that there was a rise in scams and cult-type shenanigans in Tokyo in April this year, as that was when my boyfriend and I took a trip and he proposed under a big cherry tree in the Imperial Gardens.
Yeah, that marriage is a big cult. The biggest cult of all, you might say.
Is this a reference? We made a podcast, didn't we, back in March or April about scams? Because there was a rise. I remember seeing lots of annoying people
flag
scamming. Some foreigners selling flags to Japanese people, confusing them. Whilst we were wandering around the various parks and shrines, we came across a bloke dressed like a monk of sorts who boldly came up to us and gave us a small beaded red bracelet, saying it was a gift that would bring us peace. And then very sternly told us it was £10. We had to buy it if we wanted to go see the shrine. We paid him for the shitty bracelet. Then it dawned on us that it seemed pretty scammish. Was it? Oh, and also two very persistent young girls kept following us around Shinjuku, asking what my Instagram was and inviting us to a really cool party. We politely declined and realised this too was probably something culty, as they would just wouldn't leave us alone. And we both thought the Japanese were supposed to be fairly shy around foreigners. So, Chris, what's the deal? You've spoken extensively about scams and cults in Japan on the rise, but why? What is the reason, do you think, that Japanese are seemingly keen to sign up to scary cults? All the best, Alex and Chris, now married, woo. Congratulations, guys. Mm. I'm glad the annoying bracelet scam didn't ruin the wedding or the proposal. Yeah, that is a scam. Mm. That's definitely a scam.
That's a scam.
If someone puts anything near your hand and says, yeah, it's free, it's peace, and then charges you £10, it's just a scam, and they're an idiot.
Mm. If you go to, like, Beijing or yeah, like Beijing's a good example. And like you're approached by anyone like speaking English and taking you to a tea shop. And
yeah,
stuff,
I had like, that. When, that's really common in Beijing when you walk down the street, girls to come over and go, oh, do you speak English? And they're quite pretty and nice.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, yeah, I speak English. Let's go. And they're like, I know a great tea shop down this alleyway. And you look down the dark alleyway and you think, wait a minute. I remember doing it and then saying, can we go to Starbucks over there? And she went, no, it has to be this tea shop. And I was like, probably not. I'm busy now. Then bye. I know we've had lots of kind stories of strangers and things in these recent episodes. We did that episode a few weeks back, didn't we, about kindness in Japan. I'm always a bit wary if someone comes up to me and just starts talking in Japan, because people are so introvert and shy usually.
Yeah.
When they're doing it, instantly an alarm goes off and you think, oh, God, there's something wrong here. You know, like someone came and talked to me in Hokkaido. It was a woman trying to induct me into some sort of Buddhist cult in Sapporo. I remember that vividly. This one in Shinjuku, when they wanted your Instagram name or whatever, that was probably they wanted to just try and promote some sort of nightclub in Shinjuku and try and encourage you to come along to that.
Right.
So, yeah. So just be wary. If someone comes up to you, just ignore them or tell them to go away. And even if someone is, just be careful. You can usually tell if someone's coming to scan you, though.
Scan me.
God.
Scan me and then scan me.
QR code face.
That's another mascot. Greetings from Chile. I've not got a name on this one, so apologies. Greetings from Chile. I love the podcast and I listen to it religiously. Speaking of cults, in the last 2 years I've been to Japan twice on vacation. I can't wait to go for the third time. The trip from Chile is almost 30 hours.
So I've got a 12-hour flight by the day after tomorrow. Yours is 30 hours. Jeez. I don't even know how you get from Chile to Japan.
Changing Hawaii or LA,
LA
or something.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. And the time difference is 12 hours, so the jet lag is massive and soul-crushing. I have a question. I've heard a lot about the Daibutsu from Nara, Kamakura and Fukuoka.
Daibutsu. Giant statue, right?
Right, okay.
Buddha, giant statue of the Buddha.
Frequently being a topic for gaijin content creators, but why does no one mention the Ushiki Daibutsu near Tokyo? It's 120 metres tall, and on a clear day, you can see it from Skytree. Is there a big Buddha in around this place then, I guess?
Ushiki
Daibutsu.
Hmm. Oh, I'm trying to remember the place where it is. Damn it, there's a prefecture really near. It begins with I. Help me. Ibaraki prefecture. They've got this Ushiki Daibutsu.
Right.
120 metres tall. Mm. It looks crazy. It was at one point the tallest statue in the world.
I think,
up until 1990 or 2000, up until the year 2000. Mm. I've never seen it in person. It does look kind of creepy and crazy and fun. I think the reason people don't go to that one and go to the one in Nara or the one in Kamakura is because they have historic value, whereas this one was just built in like the 80s.
And the one in Kamakura you can get inside its head. That's
incredible.
I think so, yeah.
Are you sure?
I remember being inside a head.
I think you can. I love the one in Kamakura. It's beautiful. Mm. I don't know when it was built. For all I know, maybe it does have no historic value. I don't know. But it looks historic, and that's all that matters. Then again, that being said, the Daibutsu in Fukuoka that I put in a video a few months back, that was the most amazing Buddha that I've ever seen. And it's kind of laying down. It's in the laying down pose.
Street Fighter 2.
Said to be the Buddha going into Nirvana, relaxing on a chair.
Yeah,
like
chilling
you
out. To Nirvana, guys.
It looks
BRB.
Beautiful. That's my favourite one. I guess this one, people don't go to the Ushiki Daibutsu that much just because it's a little bit out of the way.
Mm.
Whereas Kamakura, you've got lots of things to do. You can see the statue. When I go to Kamakura, I like to, get a bicycle and see the filthy beach. It's not that bad.
All your filthy beach.
Depends what time of year. And you get a nice view of Mount Fuji from Kamakura as well. Mm. And it's near Tokyo. Whereas, again, this one, Ushiki Daibutsu, I don't know if there's anything else around the Daibutsu. You're just going for a 120-metre statue from the 90s.
Oh, Kamakura is lovely.
So my advice is stick to Kamakura. Definitely stick to Nara. They're both amazing places. Lots of things to do. If you've got a short holiday, you should try and pack in as much as you can.
Yeah. Definitely.
Dan, and thanks to that guy. I don't know what his name was.
No.
Could be a girl.
Chile.
We know they're from Chile. So that's what we've got to go on. Dear Pete and Chris, my question is for both of you. Have you ever taken or considered taking the Japanese language proficiency test? I heard that this can help immensely when applying to work for Japanese companies, and some even require foreigners to be at a certain level, such as N1 to N2. For Pete, the first level test is supposed to be really easy. And for Chris, why not see how good or bad your Japanese has gotten over the years? I dare say this could help you when sending out your resume for potential video opportunities with Japanese companies. Great podcast. All the best. Dan. Pete, have you done it?
Dan's like some kind of career advisory kind of guy.
Secretly trying to steer our careers.
Work on your skills, mate. Work on your skills. Work on your skill base.
Be better.
Get it on your LinkedIn.
Have you done it, Pete?
No, God, no.
Why not?
Because I can't speak any Japanese,
Chris.
You can
speak some.
Cannot.
All right,
I can order a coolish. Can I ask for a beer?
I did take N2 like 4 years ago.
Right.
I just missed it. I just
failed. Oh, just fell.
And then I took it again.
Right.
6 months later.
Yeah.
And then I really failed.
Basically, how did you get worse?
Because I'd studied really hard up until the first time I took it. And I was like, I didn't think I was going to pass.
Right.
Weirdly, it was more like I could take N3 and definitely get it, or shoot for N2 and possibly get it. You know, shoot for the moon and you might aim, you might be among the stars if you fail, all that crap. I shot for N2, I missed it, I got nothing. Because obviously I got to just walk away with nothing. I didn't even have N3. So I was like, well, I better do it again. But in the time between the first time I took it and the second time I took it, I didn't study for a single day.
Right.
So actually my knowledge went down, my proficiency went down. And when I took it, someone's phone went off. I remember now, during the listening, I'm not even making this up.
Right.
In the listening, there was 200 people in a room doing the test in Niigata. Someone's phone went off and it kept ringing the entire time for the listening.
Well,
and it got so bad that in the end he got thrown out. And they said to us, look, this guy has ruined it for a lot of people here. We're going to redo the listening section. But at that point I felt like, I probably failed it anyway, so I didn't do it. Probably should have done it. Idiot.
You sound like a real
I sound like
real
an idiot.
Winner, Chris.
I sound like a winner. But no, since then, I haven't done it again. I haven't studied for like a single day. My Japanese has been in freefall for the last half decade. But I actually vowed... just a few weeks ago, I sat down, looked in the mirror and went, yes, I've got a day.
I
don't know why I'm conjuring up this
yes.
story. I sat down
Do
and thought,
it.
I'm rubbish because I've lived in Japan for 7 years now. I think I looked at the clock and realised I'd lived in Japan 7 years and yet I
you
didn't
looked
have...
at the clock.
And it shut up, Pete. You're ruining my imaginary story.
You looked
story.
In the mirror and went, yes, and then You're looked at the clock and went, this... I've been here for 7 years.
All right, I was...
This is just a house of
I
cards.
I was walking in the park, Pete, and I saw a dog and I thought, that dog looks
that
like
dog.
7 years old,
yeah.
but hasn't got JLPT N2. Either way, I decided, if you're going to be in a country that long,
yeah.
if you're going to be in a country 7 years, 8 years, whatever, you really should master the language to some degree. And I was on the road, I was on the path to success. And I screwed it up, I gave up because I threw all my eggs into the YouTuber basket.
Right.
And spent most of my time learning how to become a YouTuber and film things and edit things. And I've kind of got an all or nothing personality.
Like,
giving it my all, I'm not at all.
Right.
And when I kind of thought, before I was studying Japanese like 5 or 6 hours a day. Then when I stopped, I was like, well, I've stopped now. It's all or nothing. Either go 5 hours a day or not at all. And I went, not at all. I realised in hindsight now, as a 29-year-old man, that's a stupid way of doing things and a stupid way of looking at the world. I could have easily fit in 1 hour, 2 hours a day of study over the last few years and kept boosting my Japanese. But I didn't. I'm an idiot. I paid the price for that. But now I will do JLPT2 and I'll definitely pass it. Actually, no, I'm going to do N1. I'm going to do JLPT N1 next year. I'm going to definitely pass it.
It's like...
and we'll have this conversation again, and I'll be smug and happy and smiles.
And you'll be like, and I'll ask to see your certificate, and you'll have just photoshopped it. You big liar.
I do have a good graphic designer who can make that happen. But no, let's do it.
Oh, dear.
And you should do N5.
Yeah, I'll
do it. Go on, Pete.
Are these exams like written?
N5 is really easy. You can do that in like 6 months.
Oh, so it goes backwards. N5 to N1.
N5's the
right.
easy one.
Ah.
But with N1, N2, those are the ones that you can use to get a job in Japan. Often,
right.
if you're applying for a job in a Japanese company that doesn't revolve around teaching English, they will ask for N1, N2.
Yeah.
It really opens a lot of doors.
Yeah.
So N5's more like a vanity thing.
Right.
And N4 is basic. And N3 is as well. But. You know, a lot of
Once
people
get
do it.
Twos.
It's nice. I think it motivates you. If you get N5, you think, well, I might as well N4 now, and you kind of keep going up. It keeps you motivated. But.
Yeah, I think you're...
You should put a bet on. I'll get N1, you get N5.
Asking a lot for my motivation. Is it written as well? Is it, like, written and... Cause...
There's no speaking. It's only listening and reading.
Oh, right,
so
okay.
It's quite easy, really.
Right.
I've a good friend of mine passed it in about 18 months. N2.
Jeez.
Which they say takes 3 to 5 years. Granted, he's smart.
That sounds spooky. Does he live there?
Yeah.
It's a lot easier.
He's a Geordie as well.
Is he? He's a
Geordie. From your neck of the woods.
He's a Geordie.
But yeah, he did it in 18 months just by using Unki, the flashcard memorization app. So, can be done.
Well done him.
Well done him.
Well done him.
don't know what he's doing now.
We've got an email here. Congratulations, Chris, for finishing up the amazing Journey Across Japan series. This is from Augustine. Hello, Augustine. I think this has been some of your greatest work, and as a follower of your channel, I can only thank you enough for superb content. I hope you're happy with it, how it all came out. If you had to pick your favourite guest from the journey, besides Pete, of course, who would that be and why?
Had some amazing guests on Journey Across Japan.
Yeah,
from Ryota Anatsuki to Sharla and my good friend Ellen. We had Joey the anime man. We had Kazu, a random Japanese woman that Ryota knew and who was awesome.
Drafted in.
And somewhere near the bottom of the pile there was Pete Dawson.
Yeah.
But, emerging from a lake in Kyoto.
Made an amazing
I don't have. I can't pick out one guest. You know, what I like is each guest on Journey Across Japan, if you watch the series, was very different, brought different things to the table. Pete brought insanity. Charlotte brought Canada.
Positivity.
Positivity. Jerry brought...
Kept you in line.
Wacky youthfulness, because he's like 22 or something.
Right.
And exotic hair. And everyone brought something new. Ryotaro just brought sarcasm and... just annoyed me, really. But it was fun. I did. It was good. And Natsuki brought exercise for the first time in his life ever. What I loved about Journey Across Japan, first day of the cycle, and you can go back and watch this, it's called Journey Across Japan Day 1. Natsuki is in it, and he joined the cycle, which I didn't expect him to do. And I've never seen Natsuki do any exercise except when he walks around quickly to find his cigarettes. Other than that, I didn't know he's like done nothing in 20 years. He kind of said in the video, oh, I haven't done exercise in 25 years or something. So to see him cycle, I felt like shedding a tear. Yeah. I mean, I didn't.
I bet he did as well.
A monster. But yeah, that was a lovely moment. So I can't give a single kind of person who I enjoyed spending time with. They're all great. But I think that moment with Natsuki doing exercise on the first day, that was the most powerful moment of the trip. Probably.
Definitely.
I don't know.
Fun.
And
fun,
actually, the last one we've got here is about Natsuki. And it says, Dear Chris and Pete, in 2017, Chris did an unboxing video and said when Natsuki is famous, he would leave Japan. Would this still be the case? I hope not. Abroad in England just doesn't have the same ring. I love listening to the podcast on my walk to university. I made the Kyoto heat much more bearable, though currently writing this in freezing Scotland. And I look forward to listening to future podcasts and watching more on your channel. From the best tour guide ever, a.k.a. Issy, a Scot without the accent. And I actually met this girl, Issy, in Kyoto. She says, P.S., since posting the photo of when I met you in the Fushimi Inari Shrine, more people have asked if I was dating you then than they did with photos of me with my ex-boyfriend. this lovely Scottish girl, Issy, I was walking through Kyoto showing my cousin around the Fushimi Inari Shrines, you know, the red shrines going up the mountain. You've been there. You've done it. You've seen it.
In the dark.
Yeah, she spotted me and we had a lovely chat. She's very nice. Following up her question, do I plan to leave when Natsuki's famous? I don't know. I've not made Natsuki famous yet. I always said I would. It's one of my list, on my list of things to do.
Maybe start with the smoking.
Yes, let's stop him smoking first, then make him famous. And we can combine the two in some way. That'd be amazing. But no, I don't know. It's quite a subjective thing, isn't it?
What
is fame?
What is fame?
What is fame?
What is lung disease?
What is lung
Either
disease?
Way, he should stop smoking.
Yeah. I think that'd be a good goal, though, to leave Japan when Natsuki's famous. But that's going to take a long time.
You don't want to be in part of Natsuki's kind of entourage going around the world, kind of like looking after his ciggies.
Babysitter to the cigarettes.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not sure what would take longer, to be honest. Getting JLPT N1 or making Natsuki famous.
Yeah.
But those are the two challenges that lie on the horizon for the next year. But for now, that's all, guys. Thank you for your many questions, comments, stories coming into the abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com folder. We'll be back same time next week to do it all over again. And actually, I'll be in in Japan.
You'll be in the old...
Sad. Weird. Japan. I've spent a lot of time sitting next to you the last few weeks doing these podcasts.
It's been nice.
Undoubtedly easier.
Yes.
But it's nice to not see your face when doing the podcast. I can concentrate more.
I am rather alluring, aren't
I? Oh, I'm going to miss you, Pete.
See you later, Chris.
See you later, Pete.
See you next week.
Goodbye, everyone. See you next Wednesday, 10 p.m.
Hold up.
What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, mate.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.